Well, I don't know about each one of you, but when I think about Christ returning and us going home, I think about how we get all of eternity to worship God together. And yeah, if we're not enjoying worshiping Him now, what will heaven be like? Maybe I'll just bow for a word of prayer to start off here. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can spend together looking into your word. God, thank you for the insights that you give each one of us and the opportunity we have to share them with each other. And God, I pray that what you showed me this week would be an inspiration to others here. They would be able to follow my thought process, and God, that each one of us could have a thriving relationship with you. Speak through me, God. Help me to be a pure vessel that can be flowed through. In Jesus' name, amen. So the subject that I have this morning is a relationship with God. And I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I don't have an exemplary relationship with God, but I think that's part of a relationship, is that we don't really feel like ours is exemplary. Sort of the connection there is the connection between a relationship and faith. So I was reading in the end of Luke, I'm not sure if it was this last week or the week before, but reading about Jesus' death and burial and resurrection and just the different things that people did for him. But maybe for a start off, I've been thinking about how God's creation is all working together. And we went through the Laura and Mary storybooks with Emily for bedtime stories recently, probably over the last year. And the one thing that sticks out to me is Paul was talking to Laura about how the muskrats, I think it was, like, are forced to do the right thing, basically. Like, when a hard winter is coming, they build extra thick walls to their huts or whatever. It's not because they want to. It's not like it's God has put in them the knowledge to know what's coming, and so they have to. So I was thinking about that. Are animals robotic? Do they have a choice? And I'm not sure that we can really answer that because we're not an animal. But I was thinking about us. What about you? Is all of your thinking and trying to make wise choices of no use? Or does relationship and love have to involve free choice? If there's no other choice, if there is no choice, then there can't be responsibility. I was thinking about how when a snake bites someone or a bear mauls someone, you don't really think of punishing the animal, because, I mean, in a sense it's responsible, but in a sense, what's the use of punishing it? It's not going to learn not to do that. And in the same way, if we don't have a choice, then there's no responsibility. There's no reason for reward or for punishment. There's no reason to success or to failure. And there's no good and there's no bad. There's no worship. There's no submission. There's no relationship if we don't have a choice. And I was thinking about how formula is robotic. Like, if you have a formula, you do this and you do that and you get this. Well, there's not really choice involved in that either. Like, and I was thinking about how faith is free. Faith acts on principle. Faith is relational. I was also thinking about how faith doesn't get it all right. I think of Abraham and how he messed up. Well, he messed up because he didn't know everything. And we don't know everything when we're acting in faith. I feel like I stress out a lot about what's the better thing to do? What's the best thing to do? Well, I guess I think that is faith, because if we knew the best way, we could just do it. But sometimes we don't know. Is it better to take out the garbage now, or to clean up the entry, or whatever it is that you have on your plate? Then I was thinking about how easy it is to serve God out of the desire to the desire to make the formula work out, the desire to do what we should. So are you trying to do what you should, or are you looking for opportunity to express your love? Maybe here's where I'll read from Luke chapter 23, starting in verse 50. Jesus had just died. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. So my understanding from this verse is that Joseph was a part of the Sanhedrin, which would have been the ruling body of the Jews, the ones that decided that Jesus should die. Some people, another name for them would be a senator. And it appears like he would be representing a city, Arimathea or something like that. But he was a dissenting voice. He didn't agree to kill Jesus. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. And that day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew on. Now, I was thinking about how easy it is to point out problems in other people's lives and to think that they're making the wrong choice because they're not making the choice that we see as being the smart choice or the choice that they should be making. But to see that this Joseph guy, you could condemn him for, he obviously didn't make too big a stink in the Sanhedrin because he was still on the loose. Like, he should have, he would have probably got sentenced with Jesus if he would have been too much dissenting. And yet, his faith found a way to act. It wasn't limited by the people around him making the wrong choice and choosing to kill Jesus, but his faith found action in going to Pilate and begging for the body of Jesus and taking care of Jesus' body. And I guess that's what I want to encourage all of us to do, is to let our faith find expression. I think it's easy to view sin as something that we avoid because it's bad. But do we avoid it because it's bad, or do we have something better to look forward to? Or are we already experiencing something better? And I was thinking about marriage and how we don't even really go down a road of what would life be like with someone else, because we have something better to look forward to. We have our partner, and we are experiencing life together. And sin doesn't have its appeal when we're thriving in that. I looked up the different, the story of Joseph is in every gospel, and they all have a little bit different, description of who he was. Several of them, two of them said that he was Jesus' disciple. Maybe we'll turn to the John account, because there's this other guy that gets in this account. John chapter 19, verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein never was man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. So here we see Nicodemus is also finding an expression to his faith. He took the spices, all these different things that the Jews do with dead bodies, and he helped to take care of Jesus' dead body. I was just thinking about how if you can formalize faith, then it's no longer faith. It's faith's work is myriad. And I was also thinking about how relationship is the same way. Like, you can read a book on how to be a good husband or how to be a good friend, but if you're just following a formula, you're not really being a friend. You're trying to be a fake. So whether it's faith or relationship, it's not about doing it right. It's about letting our love find expression. And I think we see people that find expression in ways that are not good. People that try to go kill the abortionists or whatever it is that they think is doing God service in their faith. But we need to find receivable love, receivable expression of our love. So I tried to put together somewhat of a list of ideas of how to express our relationship with God, how to work on our relationship and make it more real. I guess I'm a married man, so I'm thinking a lot about my relationship with my wife and what helps our relationship to grow and thrive. Read his love notes over and over again. I think that's what really our Bible reading is. Like, he's given us these love notes, and we get to look at them and to think about who God is and why he would have wrote these things to us. Communicate. Express your thinking. Express your life. God wants you to communicate with him. Prayer was mentioned earlier, and I think as we pray, as we tell God what we're thinking, he's already aware, but he wants to hear it. He wants us to tell him. And I think in a good relationship, you're expressing yourself to the other person. It's also thinking about how my wife sometimes admires me. And I was thinking about how we can admire and worship and just have an awe of God. He is quite a professional handyman, an inventor, a worker. And he enjoys us noticing his work. I feel like this is something my wife is helping me to grow in seeing God's handiwork. Maybe it's just age, but I'm finding a lot more of God in nature. I was eating lunch the other day with Silas, and we were out at the job, and there was a tree there that gnarly bark, and an ant was crawling up it. And I was talking to him about, God designed it so that ant would be there for us to see. Just to take small things that God's made and look at them and wonder at them. Whether it's a leaf or a bug or a petal of a flower or even a hair or a stick or a blade of grass or a rock. God's the details that he put into things just for, it seems like, no reason. Obviously, we don't know all that he knows. There might be plenty of reason there, but he's an amazing person to come up with all of that. And if we take a look at that and think about who it would be that would put this all together. So to work on our relationship, learn to relax and rest. If you're self-sufficient and always busy, he longs for your free time. If we're working too much, we don't have time for relationships. If we're distracted by our own things, we don't have time to notice the person that we're loving and the things that they're doing, or to just spend time together. Learn to serve. Anything and everything that you do can be an act of love for God. I know I get too busy with getting the goal accomplished instead of thinking about that this is something that I'm doing for out of love for God. Let your whole life be an act of love. Appreciate Him. He has and continues to display His love. Let Him know you noticed. And then I was also thinking of the aspect of complimenting or bragging or praise or speaking well of the person that you love. I think it actually helps you to love them more, and I think it helps you to love God more too. When we tell others the specifics of how God has expressed His love to us, and maybe to them too, like highlight to them how God's loving them. Also, partner with God. Enter into what you see Him trying to accomplish. Not only to have joint accomplishment, but even more to be together. I think my wife and I are still learning how to do things together, and we're finding a lot of joy in that. Maybe somebody else has some examples, but I was thinking through Scripture some of the different people that expressed love, not by a formula, not by following the law, but by doing it creatively. So maybe I'll open it up first. Can anybody think of other people other than Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus that did something that wasn't required of them out of a heart of love? David, what did he do? Yeah. In fact, I want to turn to a reference and read a little bit about that. 1 Chronicles 29. Starting in verse 6. It seems like, as I was reading over this morning, it seemed like a lot of it is David's doing, and he's the instigator for sure. But he also got a lot of other people involved. So starting verse 6. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of kings work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams of silver 10,000 talents and of brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. We'll read through verse 18. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is nothing abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand, and it is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. Just that heart of willingness, of wanting to do this. I think, yeah, it's so much better to love out of a want to love than to love out of a need to love. Somebody else have another example? Yeah, taking care of the king of Babylon, right? Something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think of him. Anybody else? Daniel? What do you think of him doing?
Well, just attending to God publicly, whether it meant death or not.
Opening that window in faith. Yep. I was also thinking of the widow's cake that she made for Elijah. And the lady of Shunem that built a room for, not sure if that was Elisha or Elijah, but anyone else?
Another example of David's love is when, maybe in a much smaller sense, but still big, when he said he was yearning for water from a well.
Mm. As an offering to God.
And then also, what you read there in Chronicles, the thing that really stands out to me is how a leader desiring to serve God, how that affected other people.
Yeah.
Other people joyfully entered into the same thing.
Yeah.
Same way with Nehemiah.
Yeah. I was looking up the "let us" in the Bible. Like, there's a lot of them that don't really apply, but I think of that as being a very powerful statement. Let us go. Let us go up to Bethel and build an altar to God. I was also thinking of the wise men brought their gifts, and Mary that brought the ointment and anointed Jesus' feet. We don't really know the backstory. She may have been, who knows how many years she was working so that she could have 1 year worth of savings to buy that ointment. Also John leaning on Jesus' breast. Yeah. Yep. And I think that's really what Jesus was getting at, was that she was giving in as an act of faith, where other people were just giving like their pocket change. And also think of the disciples in Acts 11. Maybe I'll just turn there. Acts 11:29. Maybe we'll start in 28. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Jerusalem, or dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Anyways, those are the examples I have. Also, Jacob's tithe. think that's all of the ones I have written down. So just encourage all of us to live our lives building that relationship, loving out of a desire to show that love, and yeah, let our relationship build in the imperfections, because it's going to be imperfect. God bless you all.